Please take your seats. School is now in session.
Welcome to Homeschooled Podcast.
Homeschooled.
The Homeschooled Podcast. Why? Because he was homeschooled.
It's time to document the journey. Welcome back to Homeschooled Podcast. I'm Augustino Zoida. I'm the host of the Homeschooled Podcast. And my co-host, Kevin Lyons, is still out of town. But I do have a guest calling in today with, you never know who you're dealing with the vid on, back on the rise. Some people got their guards up. Also, it's we're having like a little bit of a heat wave here in Los Angeles this week. So, you know what? I'm having my guest call in, which I'll call him up in just a second. But first, I want to just a quick reminder that this episode is brought to you by Personal Chef To Go. Personal Chef To Go is a fantastic food delivery service delivered to your home, right to your door, contactless. All right. I know you don't want to go out there in the grocery store and go in the lines and, listen, a lot of you guys have been stuck at home for a long time. You're sick and tired of making dinner and the same old takeout. And most importantly, you want to lose weight. You want to eat healthy. And it's tough. It's tough having a, you want to eat healthy and then you have to keep cooking for yourself constantly. That's the best way to eat healthy. And it gets annoying. And some of you guys don't know how to, or you just don't have the time. That's why I like Personal Chef To Go, because it literally is like having your own personal chef. They every week will mail you the menu and you choose your food items that you want to eat for the week and they mail it right out to you. You don't have to cook anything when it gets to you. It's already made and it's prepackaged and it is it's already in its own portion. So you're now not worrying about portion control. Let me read you this week's menu. I had my personal chef email me, Chef Blaine emailed me this week and he goes, here's the menu. We got salmon Rockefeller, which is a Scottish salmon with a crab meat topping with bacon served with a side of squash, butternut squash. You guys, there's cold water cod. There's, chicken cordon bleu, Moroccan grilled chicken breast, grilled steak chili, grilled barbecue chicken, jumbo lemon shrimp, stir fry. This is what they're emailing me, you guys, for the week that you can choose between, if you, depending on what you're doing, if you're doing one box to try it for 1 week, you got, or five meals or however many meals you choose which one you want out of these. We got stir fry beef loin, oven baked penne lasagna, grilled shrimp Caesar salad. There's, let's see what else we got. We got Florentine style cold water cod, chicken breast stuff with lump crab meat. Ooh, that sounds good. Chicken. Let's see what else we got here. Pork loin chops. Garlic sizzled fajita beef loin. Southwest chicken chili. You guys, it just goes on and on. Southwest chicken salad. Teriyaki chicken salad. Marinated shrimp salad. Listen, there's tons more, and they just email you this at the beginning of the week, and they go, put in your order out of these. Which one do you want? You select it. They deliver it to your door. And you just pop it in when you're ready to heat it, and then you just eat it. This is great because there's a lot of people that don't have time to cook these home-cooked meals or know how to cook it or know how to cook healthy. So they're cooking healthy for you. They're cooking delicious for you. They're worrying about portion control. All you got to do is receive the package. All right, you guys. So try Personal Chef To Go by clicking the link in the description and just do one trial. Just try one box. That's all I'm asking. But when you do it, please support the Homeschool Podcast and click the link in the description. Also, this episode is brought to you by Puffy Mattress. I cannot go on and on more than I already have about how wonderful Puffy Mattress is. You guys, I'm not even making it up. I'm not reading a script. I'm telling you that I'm sleeping on my own Puffy Mattress every night, and it is great. Before this, I had a old school, like probably like more than 10 years old, regular spring mattress, and I knew it was time for a new one. My wife and I were having, back pains, waking up in pain every morning, and we knew it was time for a new one. And we tried a couple of these memory foam mattress services that deliver to your door in the box, and you watch them unfold and everything. And we tried a few, and we kept sleeping on it, and then waking up, and we still had the back pain. And people told us, well, you got to give it a little bit longer, got to get used to it. And we kept trying, and we just had the back pain. I got to tell you guys, when I got Puffy Mattress, it was like the best night's sleep I've had in a really long time. Not to mention the King Puffy pillow that it came with. It just kind of makes the whole package worth it. It makes it that much more better. And I just sleep so great when I go on the road. I went on the road to Arizona recently, and I got to tell you guys, I was thinking about my own bed and how comfortable it is. And after sleeping on it for about 5 days, my back pain was gone. I was waking up and there was like no more back pain. Like literally, like right now, I was thinking about it the other day. I told my wife, I was like, do you remember last time you woke up with back pain? She was like, no, because we've had our Puffy mattress now for a couple of months. So if you need a new mattress, you guys, I highly recommend Puffy Mattress, as does America. It's America's number one memory foam mattress delivered right to your door. I got the one that has the cooling gels. I got a queen size. It's great. And they offer finance options. Okay. So if you can't afford to buy it all at once, you can make payments on it. You can pay it off with zero down. Just go click the link in the description, fill it out, see if you get approved. You guys, it's great. You need a good night's sleep to be dealing with all the bullshit that you deal with when you're awake. So click the link in the description right now, and not only will you get $300 off your Puffy mattress, but you will also get the King Puffy pillow free included with it. And hey, try out to fill out the form to see if you get approved to do zero down and just make payments on it. It's worth it, you guys. All right, so I hope you guys had a great 4th of July weekend. I hope everybody was safe. I heard about some people in my neighborhood that lost their pets. I knew that shit was going to happen. I hope that none of you guys lost your pets or you know, set somebody's hair on fire. But anyway, right now, we're going to have our guest call in. My guest today is Greg Wilson. He's been on a couple times before. He's a really, really extremely funny stand-up comedian who I've known probably since I've started. And he teaches a comedy class. He's been like, you know, headlining since before I started. Just really funny dude. That's it, you guys. It's Greg Wilson. Let's give him a call. The Wilson.
What's up, Augustino? How you doing, man?
Dude, I'm great. How are you?
Getting through it.
I see you, dude. I see you over there on your couch eating your little junk food.
Dude, that's where it's been for 4 months. And then I was like, you know what? I got to bring this back under control. It was because, you know, we were on this ride that we didn't know where it was going or how long it was going to last. And so I was just like, you know what? If I'm going out, it's not going to be on a salad. You know, if they take me to the hospital, I want to know that my last meal was fucking delicious. Yeah. So it's like all bets were off. And then that dragged on, you know, for like 3 months.
It kept getting extended.
Right. And then it was like, okay, you know what? Now I'm just killing myself. Now I need to go ahead and I got to save myself from myself. So
what about the drinking? The drinking too?
Well, the drinking's been tough. That's the toughest thing. You know, it's so funny. I have a joke in the new, which is this, you know, all the quarantine and all that stuff. And I talk about how, then the protests. You know, I had just gotten my drinking under control. Like I had just started to bring it back down. I had, you know, gotten off the hard liquor every night, had a couple of dry nights here and there. I was getting it back together. And then, the protest started, and the first one was so close to our house. And that was the one that was like the biggest one in terms of the rioting and the looting,
right?
Was that first one, and that was my neighborhood. Uh-huh. I mean, we live, you know, blocks away from Third and Fairfax. So, right. all of that was happening. And I'm like watching the news and I'm running outside to see if it's coming down our street. And I'm watching, you know, it would scare. So, I mean, the drinking shot right back up, baby.
Yeah.
I mean, through the roof. And so now I have to admit, lately I've been able to bring it. I'm bringing it back down. You know, but I'm definitely doing better with food than I am with the booze. The boozing has still been pretty prolific, but
dude, it's
but
like
that's coming down too. Like, I mean, look, it's 7 o'clock. I haven't had a drink yet, so that's
hey, progress. Dude, I'm with you, bro. I feel exactly the same way. Like, I kind of have somewhat of control over the food, but with alcohol, I'm drinking every day. But I have, like you said, like a couple of dry days.
Yeah.
And we just had a 4th of July weekend, and I've told myself that this week, until next weekend, like, I like to give myself little small goals. Like, I'll go, like, I'm going to go Monday through Thursday and not drink.
Right, you can't do full stop because
yes.
you'll freak out. You'll panic and just blow it all up.
You got to make, promises to yourself.
You have to have a visible shore, right? You have to have a visible shore. You're like, I got to get to that side.
Yeah.
And on that shore, lots of booze.
Yeah, man. And you know, in the beginning of all this, I thought I was doing pretty good. Like, first of all, it started and we were already in Lent. I'm Catholic. And I gave up, like,
yeah.
you know, beer and bread and fatty foods. Like, I give all that stuff up for Lent. And so in the beginning.
I think that's more than the priests give up.
Oh, yeah, the priests can't even give up.
You pick one thing,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah, they can't give up masturbation.
Oh,
dude.
They don't give
up.
Exactly.
But, yeah, man, I was doing good.
Little boys for nothing.
And you know, and then all of a sudden Lent was over and I go, well, I can enjoy myself a little bit. I'm gonna have a couple things that I normally like, and then it just exploded from there.
Yeah.
And
you,
I haven't looked back
the same way, which is, it's a slippery slope. Like, once you start, it's like, and I'm all the way back in. Okay.
Yes, dude, you
Moderation
knew me when I was like
not,
big
not
as shit too
thing. Yeah.
You knew me when I was big. I'm always at a slippery slope,
and that was one of your first great bits. Was I'm addicted to food.
That's right. That's right.
That was the first bit I saw you do that I was like, oh shit, this is really good.
Like, this thanks, man.
A great bit, you know?
Yeah.
I was like, you know what I mean? It was your first, like, grown up routine.
I know exactly what you mean. When you make that transition
yeah.
of doing, like, you know, you think you're doing comedy.
And funny, right. And you were still, you know, and the first real, you know, bit of comedy that was really your own.
Right.
I felt was, and it was so, I related to it so strongly. I was like, me too, you know? So, you know, everything. So I was just like, this is a great bit. I'm jealous. I wish I had it. So
I think that when you're seasoned, you can look at a comic and pretty much tell how many years they've been on stage.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's like,
true. Yeah.
You know, because every little milestone, you write a little better, or your material develops a little bit, and it's not so much silly fluff anymore. You know what I mean? Little by little, it's like better
yeah.
and better. So, like, you can just tell, like, I remember hitting those bumps where, like, you can almost see it on yourself, too. Like, whoa, like, this bit is, like, in a whole nother generation, but the rest of my act is still in the past. You know,
right,
so you just
right,
got to
right.
keep writing.
One bit at a time. You got to push the other stuff out.
Yeah.
You know,
uh-huh.
with the stuff that really becomes, you know, your next level of material. I mean, that's the way it goes. But yeah, that being addicted to food routine, I remember watching that going, oh, he's on to something here. It's a good routine.
Yeah, I haven't done that in a while, but it is on the first album that I ever recorded, which, by the way, so I recorded an album a few years ago, my first album, and I never did anything with it. Like, I just let it sit there because I wasn't 100% happy with it. There's some bits that I didn't really like. And at the beginning of this quarantine, I decided to finally tackle it. And I edited out a couple of things I didn't like. And you know, it went from like an hour and 10 to like a 50-minute album. So I was super excited that I was going to do something, like, you know, progressive during this lockdown. And I did, dude. I got my album done. I got the artwork done. I got everything put together and I submitted it for distribution. And then you know, the distribution company was just like, yeah, our warehouse is closed for COVID.
Oh, did you go with CD Baby? Was that where you were trying to launch it?
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
So CD Baby is just like, you know, the physical ones are already made. And so everything's done except that CD Baby can't actually forward all your stuff to like Pandora and iTunes and Amazon because there's nobody in the warehouse. Like,
but
to
they
do that
send
stuff.
Them hard copies. They don't just send them the files.
Apparently, they send them hard copies. I wondered that myself because they specifically tell you that you got to make some CDs, and we're gonna keep five of them to distribute to these five like major players. So I guess that's how they do it.
It's weird. It's almost like they do that just to keep the CD business alive.
Exactly, because their sister company is the ones that make the actual physical copies.
Yeah.
And it's like, what am I going to do with those?
I remember using CD Baby back around,
yeah,
you know, 2006, 2007, like in there,
mm-hmm.
you know, when people still played CDs, you know?
Yeah.
So I would sell them at my show, CDs and DVDs and stuff. So,
yeah, I, you know, there's this like kid who, you know, listens to the podcast and he knows me from Joey's podcast and stuff. And he works at this, takeout food place that I go, and when I went in there one day, he was just like, "Oh, dude, like I know you and stuff." Like, it's just a really nice kid. And then I actually got my hard copies of my album in the mail, and I was like, "Oh, I'll bring this kid one next time I go in there." So I brought it to him, and then he's just like, "Dude, that's so nice of you." And he's like, "I don't have anywhere to play it."
I know, like I keep a PC laptop. Because it has a CD DVD drive on it.
Right.
The MacBook has no drive on it. Like, so if I
it doesn't.
And I still have a ton of old DVDs of like when all the shows I did for like World's Dumbest on True TV.
Okay.
And I've never really taken that many clips out of them that I really need to just to kind of put them out there, you know, because it's hours and hours of work.
Right.
And, you know, that I did on television. I never really put it out there. So, you know, but that requires having a DVD drive.
Right. So, yeah.
Even
man.
Just to initially rip it and get the MP4 off it, you know?
Yeah. That's what you got to do. I mean, during this time, that's the time to do it. Just, okay, let me start getting a bunch of clips and, you know, I can't perform anywhere. So let me get old performances and start putting those up on Instagram.
Yeah.
And, you know, my new.
Oh, that's the other thing is I have hundreds of hours of shows.
I'm sure.
Some wild shit that I've never been able to go through. And I still need to. At the beginning of the pandemic, I was doing better about editing that stuff.
Yeah.
Then I started all these other projects, and then it kind of slid back off. And every day I'm like, I need to go back and edit more videos. That's what I really want to do is put out tons of content.
Right.
From stand-up, all these shows. You know how much I riff?
Yeah.
I'm a riff monster. I love to improvise. And I have so much of it caught on tape. On video that I haven't ever really gone through and clipped out and put out there, and I need to do that.
And that's the great stuff to post, you know?
It is, because it's like, the more you put out your jokes, the more they come to your show and they've seen your jokes.
Yeah.
You know?
So you put out that improv.
You can put that shit endlessly. You're never going to do that again, you know?
Exactly, dude. And those really rare situations, you know, I feel like that stuff just does so well on Instagram.
Dude, there's one I've been thinking about that I want to find so bad. It's from, God, probably like 2010. But I'm sure I still have it somewhere in the hard drive.
Okay.
And in it, I was doing this bar show at the Sportsman Lounge in Virginia. And I guess they'd had some kind of a dinner beforehand. And at this dinner, they put out baskets of rolls.
Okay.
So
at everybody's table?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm up there. And I say something to some woman. And next thing I know, this fucking roll comes flying out of the darkness.
No way.
Shoom! and I dodged it. I was like, whoa. And I was like, okay, listen. I said this to the woman. I said, listen, I'll make you a deal. You don't like a joke. You can throw a roll at me. But if I catch it, you got to let me have a free shot. At your face.
Oh, my God.
And she was like, fine. Dude, you don't realize the reflexes you have till you really need them. I feel her winding up. And I'm just, bam, I catch it. I mean, it's a fucking roll. It wasn't moving that fast.
Right.
And that's the other thing. There's no fear of like, oh, it's going to hurt me. You know
yeah, it's
mean?
A roll.
It's a roll. So I'm great. And I caught like several of them. And then I'd be like, all right, you got to give me a free shot. And so then she would like put her arms up. And I think the original deal was you let me throw them at your boobs, but I never aimed at her boobs. I aimed at her face. every time.
Did you ever hit
just
one?
Fuck, oh, yeah. I just smacked her in the face with rolls.
Oh, my God.
How old was four times.
How old is she?
She was like in her 50s.
Was her husband there or her boyfriend?
No, I don't think so. She was with some people, though.
Okay.
Like work friends, I think, or something like that.
Wow.
And I have this. I have this footage somewhere. And I need to find it and dig it out. I've got so many shows like that where shit just went crazy. And it's like a lot of it's in there. A lot of it you miss. It's so funny. Like the really great stuff always happens when the camera's not going.
Of course. And when the camera's going and you know it's going, it's just,
yeah.
You never get that stuff.
But I've caught enough of it because if it's one thing I've learned is just always run the camera.
Yeah.
And so, but then sometimes like, you know, it'll use up most of its battery in the first show. And then, you know, I'll charge it, maybe get 5 minutes of battery, and it just won't. And then, of course, the second show is the huge, fuck, you know, electric show.
I would love to see that video. You think it's on a DVD or like a USB or hard drive or something?
I think it's on, because I kind of collected everything and put it all on this one big hard drive.
Yeah.
And so I think it's on there somewhere.
Oh, that would be so great.
I hope so, anyways.
Dude, I remember one where I think you got a chick to show her vagina on stage.
Okay, easy. No, yeah, that happened. That's true.
But isn't it like on like Pornhub or something?
It is. It was for a minute. I think I took it down.
Oh, good.
Because I thought it would just be a really funny way to get publicity for myself.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, it was.
I thought people were like, who is this crazy guy that posted this video? Plus, it had nudity. So I was like, I couldn't put it up anywhere normal.
Yeah, you can't put it on YouTube.
Yeah. So because of the nudity, so I was like, well, I want people to see how crazy this is.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I definitely still have that clip.
I mean, to be clear to the listeners, you didn't make her do anything. Not at all. She was a crazy, if I recall, like a heckler and got on stage. Yeah,
she was heckling and I was just talking to her. And I think she said, she yelled it out. And again, this is on video. I had to show it as proof we would. She yells out and I'm saying something and she yelled out like, I'll show you my pussy or I'll show my pussy.
That's right. Yeah.
And I stop what I'm saying. I'm like, wait, did you just say you'd show your pussy?
Yeah.
And she ran up on stage and I was like, all right, let's see it. And she pulled her pants down and
yeah.
showed her pussy.
You kind of like called her bluff because most of the time hecklers are all talk. Like
right.
9 times out of 10, they're
like
all
comedians.
Talk. Yeah, but you know, usually they'll heckle, and it's, if you call them on it, they'll like shut up. You know. But,
yeah.
But this is like one of those rare situations where it's just like, oh, really? Well, then fucking do it, and she did.
And she did it. I was like, well, come up here and do it then. And she just ran up there and did it. And I mean, the audience—that was one where the audience went wild.
Yeah.
But yeah, the only way for me to, so I guess I could probably blur it or something, or friend,
you could.
So, because I would say that I'm a much better editor now than I was then, and the editing tools are much better now than they were back then.
And there's so many apps where you can blur stuff.
Yeah, there's so many apps, and I don't know which ones to use. I actually haven't gotten that much better at it, but I was better than it was then. You know which one bothers me is iMovie. iMovie seems like it's going to be really easy to use, and it's not.
Are you using it on the Mac or on the phone?
On the Mac.
What is it you have a problem with?
You know what it is? It's the subtitling. Like, there's no standard just subtitle. It's
yeah.
all just, like, titles. And I'm like, how are you missing this feature? You've updated this how many times and you didn't add just regular subtitles?
You're talking about, so you're talking about subtitles so that people can read. Like, if you want to put it on Instagram, you don't have to have their sound on. Dude, I went through a hard struggle with that, too, on iMovie. I thought for sure it's going to be there. And I watched a couple of YouTube videos, and I've seen guys, the way that they were doing it is they were just using those titles and just typing it word for word.
Right, exactly.
I'm like, dude, that's crazy.
We need an extra step in this stupid process.
If you're doing a 5-minute comedy clip, that's going to take you hours.
Right, and that's what pissed me off about it, because that's really the most important feature now is to have the subtitling.
And, you know? There is an app called... I think it's called Closed Caption, and it's like 99 cents a month, And I was using that for a while, and you just upload the video, it automatically does it for you.
Right, right.
But I was finding so many errors that you have to go through it, and you can correct each word to say what you want it to say. But I was finding that it would make so many errors that I was actually spending more time doing that than anything else. And what I use now is actually an app called InShot. Which is on your phone?
No, I have InShot too. Yeah. I use InShot.
So yeah, you just
InShot's really good, but they don't have it for the Mac. They only have it for the phone or the iPad.
Right. So what I do is I make my movies on iMovie, the video, and you edit it all up, and then I just AirDrop it to my phone, and then I load it into the app, and then
add captions. It's pretty easy to do it in that. I know. And that's what annoys me, is now you got to use two different applications to get this done.
Oh, yeah.
See, and here's the weird thing. On the PC, you can use Movie Maker, edit it, and put all the subtitling on it in one crappy program, you know? Like, it's so ridiculous that you have to use... So this is the other thing. The fact that this is what our craft has become, that we have to become movie makers.
Yeah.
You know, that we have to become these video jockeys to get anything. And it's like, on the one hand, I resent it. On the other hand, I feel like I should appreciate it that we can do that now without having to pay some guy $500 to make a clip for us. You know, I should take advantage of it because it's so much easier than it used to be. And yet I don't.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, there's a certain benefit to it.
I gotta get out of my own way.
Well, with this, like, cancel culture, man, it's like you really kind of have to welcome the, you know, comedian doing everything on his own. As much as, like, I kind of hated it, and I don't want to have to do a podcast. I don't want to have to do videos on Instagram. I just want to be a stand-up comedian. It's all I ever wanted to do.
Me too. That's all I wanted to do.
And now, you know, you can't even do that unless you do all these other things. But it's actually kind of great now that we can do everything on our own. Like, look at the guys I'm not going to go into it, but, like, look at the guys who are kind of being Me Too'd, if you will, or cancel cultured. And all the ones who have a big television show or have been on movies or television shows or Netflix and stuff, they're all having this stripped away from them because someone doesn't want to be affiliated with them. But look at the guys who did everything on their own, podcast guys, who are there kind of being outed in a way, and you can't take anything away from them because...
Well, you can take away the TV stuff, but you can't take away... You're right. You can't take away the podcast. You can't take away their audience.
Yeah. Audience is like... you can't take away something that you didn't give to someone to begin with.
Yeah. You know? To that point... That's one of the problems. That's one of the reasons I've never really done a podcast is because it seems like 99.9% of it, no one really, like a few people hear it, 100 people hear it, 200 people hear it. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. So most of it is just kind of out there until you actually do something noteworthy. And then it's like, oh, well, let's go back through all this shit and make sure you didn't slip up one fucking time and say something worth ripping all your life's work away from you for, because we have found this little nugget of, ha ha, got you, motherfucker. And it's like, oh my God, I've said so many horrible things. I'm a dead man anyway, you know?
Yeah, and then you think, and then there was a time where we kind of started to see what sold on a podcast. Like, you saw what worked. Like, you saw the guys who were making it as podcasters. They were no holds barred. They were, we don't give a fuck. The more crazier or the more, like, offensive, the better. So then we started seeing that and going, well, then I'm going to be more vulnerable on podcasts. And I'm going to say crazy, outrageous shit and fucking piss everybody off. And it's like, dude, there's probably stuff out there of me saying things that's horrible. Like,
listen, I've said horrible things on stage, let alone what I've said on podcasts.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's out there. Like, yeah. And that's why I was like, I don't even know why they call it Twitter. They should just call it evidence. To be used against you out of context in the court of public opinion. I mean,
the court of Facebook.
And it sucks. It's completely unfair, you know?
Yeah.
Everything's taken out of context, you know, and used against you. And here's what really drives me crazy is the self-righteousness of mob mentality.
Yes.
I mean, once the mob gets going, this is right, you are wrong, you need to apologize, we're going to strip you of everything. And it's like, whoa. To me, okay, if you get involved with mob mentality, to me, that is the hallmark of a simple mind.
Mm.
Because any reasonable person should know in every situation, there's two sides to every story.
Correct.
And neither one of them is the perfect truth.
Yes.
And for you just to hear a little, see a tweet and be like, that's the truth. That's the truth. You're a fucking, you know, is now it's one thing when there's like a pattern of behavior that surfaces where it's not just one thing. It's, you know, hundreds of things. That's a little bit different. Now the evidence is really stacked against you.
Yeah.
But when we're talking about singular incidences, well, you said this or you said, you know, this one time, you know, it's like, what's the context? What's the context here? You know, and I just feel like people who participate are always so self-righteous, like it could, one, like they're perfect angels. I would never, I am sitting here in my apartment, and I would never behave as you, sir, you know?
Yeah.
You know, it's just nobody gives a fuck about you. That's all. That's, and God forbid they ever do, because they're going to find your shit too. That's like, everyone thinks that they're so fucking perfect. Everybody has something to hide. Every single human has something to hide.
Absolutely.
If not, you'd be performing miracles, walking on water and converting, you know, healing the sick. So we'd all know it if that person existed.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly, dude. I think you're exactly right, man. And a lot of these people, I would say they're hypocritical in this mob mentality, as you would call it. And I don't want to put down or make light of like sexual abuse or, you know what I mean? Because I know it happens, dude. Like, I know.
Listen,
it fucking happens.
That's not what I'm not downplaying that in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, in general, this is what we're dealing with.
Right.
You know? And it's like, okay, so I have a friend who's relatively famous, and this director got accused of being bad. He is horrible. And my actor friend defended his friend, the director, and was like, listen, I wasn't there, but I could, you know, but I couldn't imagine him behaving in this way. And
yeah.
I've known him a long time, and we, you know, this is not the person that I know. And of course, everyone now comes after him. You should have just ended at, I wasn't there. And just like, you need to take this death. How dare you believe victims, blah, 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 blah. And I'm looking at this. I'm like, yeah, he wasn't there. But you weren't either, motherfucker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay? Nobody here was there. So it's his word versus his word. And we got to look at this and be like, is it possible maybe that guy was, you know, not great to work with either?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it takes two to tango sometimes.
Absolutely.
I mean, and I'm not saying that that's what happened, but I'm saying that that's as possible as the other, and we'll never know.
Yeah.
And for you to just decide, oh, I've seen enough. I take his side. I believe him. You're a fucking asshole. Like, and again, my friend isn't even the one accused of it. He's the friend of the guy accused of it.
Oh,
and
I
was
get
just
it.
Saying, I, and it's so funny. And I, you know, I wrestle with this because I wanted to respond to it, but you respond to it now. It's the flames coming your way.
Yeah, dude. One of my very, very dear friends. I mean, you know him. Got outed for something, and I stood up and did something similar that your friend did, where I said, like, you know, I can tell you that I work with this person. I can tell you that this is not the type of person that they are, blah, blah, blah. You know, kind of, you got to defend your friend, right?
Right, right.
And, dude, I was under attack. That opened me for being under attack. And,
right.
I mean, you've known me a long time, dude. I'm a lot of things, but I don't think that I'm a creepy person or, you know, someone who abuses their power towards females or, I mean, what little power
right.
I've ever had.
And that's what I'm saying. It becomes this one-sided story
yeah.
where no one has any interest in the other side.
Yeah.
Because the other side doesn't give them their self-righteous satisfaction. When, again, the satisfaction is momentary.
Mm-hmm.
What they get out of it is momentary. What happens to the other person could destroy their
career. Destroy their lives.
And that's what's not fair about all this. It's like, let he who is without sin cast the first stone.
Mm.
And I know that, so all of you are fucking hypocrites.
Absolutely.
It's just, But we feed on this, and it is, I don't know, very depressing. Very depressing.
And you know what, dude? This next statement I'm about to say is not necessarily always true, but I do believe that a lot of women have that have done something to, you know, sexually to get ahead in their career. I think the ones that actually got ahead in their career aren't saying shit, and the ones who didn't get ahead in their career, they're all coming out angry and me tooing, and it's like, yeah, but if you actually made it big, you would be really quiet right now. You know,
yeah, I mean, yeah, that may well be true. I don't really know. I don't think I can speak on that because I've never been in that situation.
Yeah,
you know, but of course, both exist without question.
I mean,
those things, and there are certain actresses that have had that reputation of, oh, you know. But I mean, hey, I'm not judging. I don't know. I wasn't there either.
Yeah,
I was going to say is what I wanted to say in defense of him was beyond that. You know, the mob mentality. It's, I wanted to say, you know, here's the thing. I just wanted to tell him, have you ever been wrongly accused of anything?
Yeah.
Okay, because I have, and it sucks.
Mm-hmm.
It sucks so fucking, because nobody believes you. You're saying, you know, because they look at it and they're like, no, I can see right here, you're guilty. And it's like, no, I am not. You know, I took a lie detector test to prove that I hadn't stolen this joke from this mother.
Oh, that's right.
Everyone attacking me. But everyone is attacking me already. But that's the thing. In those moments, it is your friends who come to your defense.
Yeah.
And it's awful that they, because I'm telling you, if they were in that situation, they would hope their friends spoke up for them.
Of course.
And yet the mob is like, oh, then you're a piece of shit too. And it's like, no, in these situations, your friends are the ones that speak up for you. And that is your solace when you are wrongly accused of something. And guess what? People are wrongly accused of shit every day, both in the legal system and in the social media sphere. You know, just because someone says it doesn't make it true.
Absolutely. You can just say anything. You can just literally say anything. Dude, my new thing is like when anybody says something, I just start going, well, you know what? I actually heard from some. Well, I'm doing this because it's a small community, the comedy community. So I'm doing this. Anytime someone says something, I go, you know what? I actually heard that you kind of were sexually harassing some people. Like, I've heard that from several different people. Like, I've been doing that a lot. And then people and they go like, really, who'd you hear that from? I'm like, nobody. But do you see how easy that was? You know what I mean?
Right,
it's exactly. So easy to
that's
make shit
you
up
have to do. Yeah.
Like if it was done to you, you know, you would be like, oh no, that never happened. But you're so easy to cast a stone on somebody else. And I gotta tell you, when I stood up for my friend, I was called a rapist supporter. I was called a pig. People call me, I mean, dude, you know me, I'm none of those things, man. I might totally, dude.
That's the thing. And these people, they getting this momentary satisfaction of letting you know.
Yeah.
You know, look what I did. They'll see it.
And, you know, our buddies.
And it's like, what does that do? What are we doing, man? What are we doing?
Dude, our
Let's
friends.
Put our swords
away.
Like, can we just put our swords away?
Oh, no, not at all, dude. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
It can happen.
Putting the swords away?
I think it can happen.
Well, I like your optimism. No, but dude, our buddies Steve Simone and Jimmy Schubert were walking down the street. You know, they were just going for a walk together, getting some exercise, and some woman fucking drove up and yelled at them and said, "Justice for female comedians," and like drove off. And it's like, you don't even know those guys. Those two might be like the nicest two people in comedy. You know what I mean? Like, they're such nice guys.
Yeah.
It's like, you don't know anything about them. And you're just fucking, like, judging people that you don't even know.
The other thing that nobody wants to admit of this is that, you know, everybody in comedy is crazy.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
To a certain degree.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody in the men and the women.
Correct.
Okay? It's not filled with a bunch of stable personalities.
Exactly.
Okay, that's not who goes into comedy. Now, those people may dabble with comedy, and then they see who's in it, and they're like, fuck these people, okay?
Yeah.
We are generally, as a group, unstable people, and that applies evenly. So just as relatively stable as some male comics are, there are some relatively stable female comics, and just as wildly unstable male comics there are also wildly unstable female comics.
Yes.
And so, I mean, This is a, you know, these people, you need to just, there's not tremendous virtue across the board in the stand-up comedy world.
Right.
People need, I was just like, what really blew me away, I was like, it's surprising me that people expect comedians to actually be better than priests or politicians.
Yeah, that's an excellent point, man. Absolutely.
It's like, look at your priest, like, get mad at me, your priest is raping kids, go get mad at him.
Yeah. We're not being anything that we were pretending not to be. You know what I mean? Like, we were never pretending to be anything else.
And people are like, you know, it's like when they do their stand-up sets, it's almost like they're telling us who they really are. It's like,
yeah. Yeah.
There's an old saying, when someone tells you who they are, believe them.
Yeah.
When a comic gets up there and says he's creepy, believe him. Okay? That's what makes it shocking, that he's standing up there and admitting these things to a crowd. That's what gives it credence. That's why you're laughing, because you're like, this motherfucker's fucked. But let's be clear, you know, not all of it is a perfect truth.
Yeah. Our occupation has like one of the highest in suicide rates, you know.
Yes.
I think like right after being a dentist.
We are crazy. We're all crazy. The men and the women. So whatever situation you think it is, you know, there's two sides to every story.
Yeah. You know, I think, listen, dude, I managed a club for like, what, 4 or 5 years? And, you know, besides Terry being the overall who gets booked on the weekends, right? Throughout the week, I booked the shows, right?
Yeah.
I can tell you from experience that a lot of women, some of them, like, you don't even know their names, dude. Like, they never even really stuck around in comedy. But all, like, open micers, you know, or just random chicks that would, show up in L.A. here and there would constantly flirt with me. And I was a big, fat dude, not a good-looking dude at the time. You know what I mean? Like, flirt with me, be seductive, touch me in areas, and it would try to entice me to put them on stage. So I have experienced many times females trying to use their body to get stage time at a very small local club. Imagine at some of these bigger clubs, and imagine the guys that take them up on the offer, or imagine the guys that, you know, it was their idea. I think it's extremely immoral to try to, you know, take advantage of a woman or a man, you know, and say, well, I'll give you stage time, but you got to do this stuff for me. I think it's pretty immoral. But at the same time, if it's two adults, like two consenting adults, it's really wrong for a man to say, you got to, you know, suck my dick to get on stage. I think that's horrible. But at the same time, the woman has to take some responsibility, I think. You agreed. And you have to live with that for the rest of your life. And it probably makes you unhappy that you did it. And now you're coming back to, like, say something. And that's not the case for everybody. You know what I mean? I'm just saying, in those circumstances.
Right. I mean, that's what I'm saying. There's two sides to every story. Mm-hmm. And people just – and what we're living in is this mob mentality epidemic of people just hearing one side, deciding that is the Bible truth. And that the other, you know, now it's time to burn somebody. Boy, everyone just run around with torches looking for the next person to burn down. And it's like, why? What good does it do? What are we doing to each other?
I think it's really sad, too, for, like, the real victims, because there's stuff that's, like, either being made up, like, straight-up lies, or stuff that's being misinterpreted, or, like, this isn't really that bad. Like, I've seen some chicks...
There was a guy in, like, the 80s, late 80s, and I've heard the stories about him, who was a touring comic who was... He was, like, a serial rapist.
Oh, geez.
I know. And what happened was, this is the story that I was told, he was doing a morning radio plug, and one of his victims heard him on the radio and was like, that's him.
Wow.
And called the detective and was like, it's the comedian. I heard him. I know that voice. That's him. And he got busted. Okay?
Wow.
Now, that guy, now we have some context. There's, you know, he was arrested. He was convicted. Say whatever you want about this motherfucker. That's a sick son of a bitch. Regardless of what his occupation was, he was an animal.
Yeah.
Okay. Whether he'd been a welder, whether or a baker, he was the guy with that dark, awful, real criminal side. you know?
Yeah.
You know, you want to attack him, go for it.
But, I mean, yeah, he got arrested and got convicted. It's like...
That's what I'm saying. He got arrested. The evidence there is actually him. He got convicted. Oh, yeah, tear that guy apart.
I'm for justice of victims. Whatever information you have, whether it be a text message or, like, you know, or just your eyewitness, like go forward, or, you know, say something, get the guy arrested, go to trial. And, like, you know, if it's all real, then yeah, like you said, like, go to town on that dude. Fuck that dude. He's an animal. But, like, I'm not for these Facebook trials, dude. It's like, you know, I'm not going to.
I think it's bad. It was all supposed to be so positive.
Mm-hmm.
And then it all got so negative. And it's in context with where we're at, you know, generally in time in our country. But,
yes.
You know, it just sucks that with social media, you know, we're supposed to be connecting with friends and likes. That's why they didn't put a dislike button on Facebook.
Yeah.
Because they wanted to keep it all positive.
Yeah,
you know,
Instagram is a heart.
But then Twitter just turned into a war zone,
mm-hmm.
you know? And it's like, I don't even like it. I want to just get rid of it. But it's like, you feel, you know, it's, you know, what if you put out a tweet and it got tweeted a million times? Right? You know, it's like, so I got to keep it, you know, for these, you know, 2,400 people that don't even give a shit.
If I wasn't a comedian, dude, I think I would erase all my social media.
I think
I would have done it.
I think I would have a very small, very intimate, which I do actually. I have a smaller intimate page on Facebook. I don't have that on Instagram. That's kind of just me as the comedian. So I try and leave the personal stuff off of there. But I did create a separate page, which, you know, there's only like, you know, maybe 100 and some odd people on there. I know every single one of them, you know, very well. It's not, you know, the promotional page. It's not, you know, so, but then I have that page. It's like the Wild West over there. I don't know these people. There's 5,000 of them. I don't know. Here's the other thing, too. Can I tell you, most of them I never hear from or know about until something really bad happens.
Yeah.
And it gets like 65 comments and 207 hearts and all this. And I see it, I'm like, oh, and I feel bad, but I usually, that's my opportunity to take them out of my path. Because I'm like, I feel bad, but I don't know you.
Yeah.
I don't know you at all.
You never commented on anything until I posted something you didn't agree with.
This is the first thing I've seen of you, and I feel bad, but if I were to post something on it, you'd be like, who is that? Like, I don't think you know who I am either. So, or maybe you do, but it's like, I don't know you, so I'm going to just take this opportunity to go ahead and weed you out.
Yeah.
And make some room for somebody that maybe I do know, you know, because it's all topped out. It's topped
right.
out at 5,000. So it's like, okay, if I want to add anybody, I got to cut some people out. So when I see something, you know, a lot of times, oh, thank you for all the birthday messages. I'm like, who the fuck are you? Goodbye. Delete it.
Yeah. And on Facebook, man, it's like, you know, people, I get friend requests all the time and I accept them because you never know if this is a person that just really likes your comedy or your podcast. So I just accept everybody, but now you got to be like careful. You know, I don't even know who you guys are, or I kind of feel
exactly
people are just
like
following
this
me
to room full of people that can see all your stuff, but you don't know them. You know, you don't know what their motives are.
I was talking to a friend of mine. You don't know him, he's not a comedian, but he's like one of my best friends, and we were talking about social media, and he was just like, dude, I think I've been on social media a total of 8 hours of my life. And he's like, I used to have them, and then like I worked them a little bit. I was on there every now and then, and he's like, and then I eventually like deleted them because I was like so jealous of him. I'm like, I've never been more jealous of you. And that, like, only 8 hours is the maximum amount of time he's ever spent on any social media site, like, combined. I just was like,
yeah,
that
I'm
sounds
thinking
wonderful.
About, I'm thinking about kind of killing. I kind of want to kill all my personal social media because, again, all I can really do, especially when you do television work. You know, all it can do is take a job away from you.
Yeah.
Because they scan through it to see if there's something that's going to reflect poorly on them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost better just to not have it at all. And I'm thinking about, like, killing all my social media and just focusing on anything where I just put work out.
Yeah.
You know, YouTube and SoundCloud.
Mm.
And that's really it.
What and, about... on Facebook, I've been wondering, I don't even know if you can do this. Like, I have like a fan page on Facebook, and then I have like my personal Facebook, which has the majority of like all the people following me.
Right.
Is there a way to combine them?
Nobody wants to like the fan page. Everybody wants to be your friend.
They just want to be your friend. Yeah.
And it's like, I don't want to be your friend.
Yes.
You like my work, just like my fan page and follow the stuff that I post over there. They're like, no, I don't want to. I don't. No, yeah. I want to see what you're doing. You
we
got to
be each other's friend.
Right. And it's like, I don't know you.
Well, that's why Twitter and Instagram are great, because people can follow you and you don't have to follow them back.
Right. But again, who knows? I don't know. Again, you know, the negativity out of Twitter, it just grosses me out.
Yeah.
It's like, unless you're a public person who needs to be issuing statements, I just don't get it anymore, you know?
Yeah.
And again, I'm an older guy, too. I didn't grow up with this and think that this is just life. You live life online, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not feeling that no more, man. I really am just like, what if it was just SoundCloud and YouTube and, you know, and I, you know, you can see the stuff that I create and that's it. You know what I mean? Like, you can visit the shop, but you can't come in the house.
Yeah, right. Yeah, dude.
Here are my works. You're allowed to like the work.
I'm with you on that.
I don't need to read your manifesto, you know?
I'm with you, dude. Dude, if I was like a big famous comedian, I think I would just hire somebody and just be like, don't comment on anything that is trending. Just like post a joke a day or something positive a day.
Right.
Just to keep it going. You know what I mean? Before we go, dude, I know that you come from an improv background. I know that.
Yes.
I know you've been a stand-up for, I don't know, how many years now?
Probably mostly, you know, like a little over 20 years, probably 21, probably 20, I don't know, you know, because it was, when I really went back to it, I guess it was about like 98 or 99, so.
Most of that touring as a headliner, I'd say for most of it, for a majority of it.
For the majority of it, yeah. I mean, I think by about 2003, I guess I was already working as a headliner. You know, I was getting work in VH1, and
wow.
So yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah,
so.
Television appearances, including acting, and then you know, teaching comedy. And dude, I am losing my mind right now, not being able to perform regularly.
Yeah,
and I've only been doing it 11 years. So I can
imagine.
Well,
I think here's the thing. That's interesting you say that, because it's actually the reverse of what, for me, than what you would think, because that's the thing. The, aside from those 23 years, there's also, you know, 10 years of the troupe improv, too. Mm. So I've been on stage, you know, almost every night of the week for the better part of 30 years. And so I'm cool, man. Like,
are you enjoying your vacation?
I really am. Like, this is the first time I haven't been like running up this hill of I gotta perform, where I perform, yeah. What I don't know, you know. And so
every 30 years, you can take a 4-month break.
Right. I mean, that's the thing. And so, and then also being older, having smoked weed for so long, I'm high risk, really, kind of.
Mm.
You know, I mean, I'm not diabetic. I'm pre-diabetic, but I'm not diabetic.
Do you expect going out and performing at all by the end of the year? Or are you just going
to
straight up take the year off?
I would like to. I've kept a gig in Arizona in September.
Where?
The Stir Crazy Comedy Club.
Okay.
And the one in Glendale, which is really an excellent, excellent club.
Yeah.
And
I just did Phoenix, by the way.
Right. But again, they're having an explosion of cases.
Yeah.
And now you've seen where, like, D.L. Hughley, like, he
right.
took it on stage with him, and now all those people have to be tested. Like, I've been saying, like, why isn't there a plexiglass partition around the stage? Every other face-to-face interaction, the cashier has one, okay?
Right.
Everybody
right.
else that's face-to-face with people has a plexiglass in front of them now. Not us. We're just going to let it fly. Like, it's so fucking stupid. And I don't know that I can come back to perform live. And this thing is, I do believe I will. I think, you know,
yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Maybe this takes a year or whatever. But when it comes back, I will be comfortable and I'll be ready to rock. But we need to put up the plexiglass partition. Hmm. And we need to, and until there's a cure or at least a treatment that takes it from deadly to just not cool. I don't know that I'm going to bother with it. You know, I thought I'd be the first guy back in the pool
yeah.
until I read about all the possible devastating effects. I mean, even Ben Glebe, you know, he had it. He's someone we know, you know, who's a very healthy guy, and he got it. And then 3 months later, he had a blood clot in his leg. If that thing had moved into, you know, out of the leg, it would have hit the heart or the brain, and he'd be dead. Okay?
Dude, I've heard from several people that they're getting blood clots from it.
Yes,
that COVID causes blood clots.
It makes your blood really thick.
Yeah,
you know, and so it's like even if you survive the symptoms or they're not very mild, that doesn't mean you might not get the blood clots. And the blood clot that the blood clots killed Vic Henley.
Dude, I heard a rumor. I don't know how true it is. You know, normally I say a lot of stuff on here, and some of it might be considered conspiracy theory stuff because I'm into that stuff too. But and I'll tell you if I straight up think, like I've predicted a lot of events that have happened. You can go back on this podcast. I predicted a lot of them. But I will tell you, this is not from a reputable source. But what I heard, I would normally tell you, yeah, this is legit, but this is not. I don't know how legit this is. I heard that in Italy, they have not taken the advice of the WHO to do autopsies on the COVID deaths. So they went ahead and did autopsies, and their doctors and scientists have come to the conclusion that what COVID does is actually cause blood clots. And that eventually will cut off air to your lungs, and that's why your lungs suffer. And that's why doctors in the U.S., they just look at your lungs and go, like, yeah, COVID got to your lungs. So apparently that's what happens. Blood clots causes the air. So and the doctors there are saying, we've already started to just give, like, blood thinners to our COVID patients, including aspirin, like just taking aspirin. And they've seen that they've had, like, all patients recover. Like all COVID patients recover just by blood thinners and aspirin. And that is a source that I don't necessarily trust, but it's just something that I've heard. Who knows if it's true? I imagine Italy would have been like, you know,
I think they would have told everybody if that were the case. I mean, they at least would have told people they like.
Yeah.
They might not have told us, but they would have told Germany. They would have told, you know what I mean? It would have gotten out.
Yeah,
what I'm saying.
Unless they're trying to keep the cure to themselves so they can come out and be like a hero or something. I don't know, dude.
But
you can't
who's
trust
the hero?
Anything.
The hero is the one that says, oh, all it takes is blood thinners and aspirin. I mean, to me, that's a classic wishful thinking. You know,
right.
I heard that, what if this? I bet this doesn't. It goes from I bet this doesn't
right.
to I heard this doesn't to Italy did it. You know?
But I never heard the blood clot theory until I saw that first. And now I'm talking to people who have had COVID and all of them have told me the blood clot. So I was just going like, oh, shit, maybe that Italy thing I saw was true. Which is
the blood clot thing is real, but I don't know that yeah. It is definitely something they need that I think every, and that's the thing, rather than your symptoms, anyways, yeah, so it's bad, and I don't want it,
yeah.
I don't want it, and so, you know what, I will say this, you know that instinct you have when you're a young comedian, it's so hard to shut off, of just saying yes to everything,
yeah.
You know, I'm so glad I just said yes to everything, uh-huh. I didn't miss nothing, man, I made every... Hit every show, did every after party. I did everything. I did some of the biggest, wildest shows in New York. I ripped it up. So if I have to sit back and not do it for a year or even 2 years, then fine. That's
you had
fine.
A good run, huh?
I had an unbelievably good run. So fun.
Well, that's great, man.
I chased every night. I, you know, I followed into dawn. I did everything. And so, okay. So now I don't get to go out for a little while. I'm a married guy now anyway. I don't mind so much.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, dude, it's just, I think you're right, man. I'm glad. And I'm sure that you lived it up. And I think that's a great logic, man. Like you fucking lived it up. And if you have to take a little break, you can take a little break, whatever it means to be safe. And I think that's a smart move, dude. It's great to talk to you, dude. I appreciate you volunteering your time to come on the podcast.
Of course, man. I've been wanting to do it for a while. So, in the very beginning, I was like so adverse to it. I was like, all right, you know, if it's one of the big ones, I'd do it. But otherwise, what's the point?
Well,
but
you know,
it's like, let's talk, whatever.
Every podcast is COVID or racial issues. Like that's even if you're like a podcast about pottery, like they're talking about it. You know what I mean?
Well,
like,
unfortunately, because it affects absolutely
everybody. I know. But you know what, dude? I woke up this morning and I literally thought of you. And I think I thought of you because I don't remember what brought it up, but my wife and I were talking about something and I go, oh, that reminds me of a really funny Greg Wilson joke. And then I told her your joke and we were both laughing this morning. And then
which
I thought,
joke was it? Just tell me which one it was.
Do you want me to tell you? Because it's kind of a racial joke. I don't know if you want me to say it. With all
was
going on in the
N-word
world,
joke? Was it the N-word?
No. It was about how black people name their kids interesting things. I will just say that.
Yes.
So
I remember that one.
We were laughing about that this morning.
That was a true story.
And I went, you know what? I don't have anything in particular to talk to Greg about on the podcast, but I just really was in the mood to like talk to you and laugh and kind of catch up. So, dude, I'm glad that you were able to call in.
Oh man, hell yeah! I've been wanting to do it for a while. I'm glad we're able to catch up.
Well, great, man. So, how was your fourth? Everybody's safe. Everybody's good. You and the wife.
Yeah, dude. Can I tell you something? Okay.
Yeah.
This tells you something. You know what? And I mean this about cancel culture. You know, you can only cancel something if people don't want it. If people want it, you can't cancel it.
Right.
Because they canceled fireworks.
Yeah.
And people were like, well, then we're going to have 1,000 times more.
Did you see that shit, man?
It was crazy.
It was crazy.
And we went over to a friend's who has a house in East Dallas, in East Los Angeles. So, I mean, the Latino families showed out, bro. I mean, you would have thought you were at Dodger Stadium. It was unbelievable. And here's the other thing. And this is the stuff. You had to go to Mexico to get this. You're not getting these fireworks at the TNT stand.
Yeah.
Okay. You got to go to another country to buy the stuff these guys were setting off because this was professional.
I know, dude.
Fireworks, dude. And it was everywhere.
Can I tell you something, dude? Speaking of me making predictions on this podcast, you can go back a couple episodes and listen to me say I predicted exactly that, dude.
Yeah.
Of these massive giant fireworks. And to tell you the truth, bro, I've heard several rumors in major cities, Los Angeles, New York, Chicago, just to name a few that I heard the most, that people were saying reports of illegal fireworks that normally go for as high as $2,000, you know, stuff that you would see at like a concert. They were being sold for like $20 outside of black SUVs in big, huge major cities. And I almost thought like, dude, there's something's going to go down. Like, remember when the riots, they were planting bricks, you know what I mean, type deal. So I thought like, dude,
you
they're
really
gonna
believe all of it. You really
dude, I was just like, dude, these fireworks, man, they're gonna do something crazy. But anyway, I knew it, dude. I knew that they were gonna go off like crazy. And the next day when you walked outside, it was so hot and it wasn't windy.
It was still so smoky everywhere. It was like, god damn it, that shit didn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
It was still just laying on the city. It was remarkable. It really was.
Our smog back overnight.
overnight. We got it all back. The whole blanket was back. And I was just like,
I just stayed on my couch with my dog, dude, because I knew he would be
all
nervous.
Well, here's the thing is I went and bought like one of those, you know, family fireworks boxes because I thought this will be fun. We'll set it in the middle of the street and everything. But the stuff they were setting off was so much bigger and so much better. We didn't even touch my stuff. We were I have a whole box of it still because we were like, well, it's not going to beat this. Let's just, okay, right. You guys do it. You know,
save it
like,
for next year, man.
Yeah. So I have this whole box of unused fireworks, which I did want to go to. And that was like everybody at the party. I didn't go to a party. I went to this one couple invited me and my wife over. That was
great.
What we went to.
Nice.
So it was just the four of us with their daughter. That was the whole thing. Outdoors, on a patio.
Exactly,
you know,
man.
Everything. So
keeping it low key.
Yeah, exactly. Super. I even asked him, I said, is anyone else coming? He was like, nope. And I'm like, great.
Perfect.
Nobody else.
Yeah.
So
it's good to keep it small.
So we went over there. Yeah. So we went over there, but nobody, you know, they didn't want to mess with the fireworks. Nobody wanted to mess with them. They're like, trust me, these are going to be way better. And sure enough, I was like, I mean, geez.
Wow.
Talking about feeling like the little dick guy in a big black fireworks.
Hilarious.
You're just like, wow, I don't really belong here, do I? Okay. Like, it was remarkable. It was very impressive. Very impressive.
Nice, man. Well, I'm glad you had fun. I'm glad you're safe and you guys are being healthy. Thank you so much, dude. I appreciate it. It was great to talk to you.
Yes, great to talk to you too.
Say hi to the
Super
wife.
Fun. Will do. Say hi as well from me.
You got it, buddy. All right, I'll see you next time.
Take care, my man.
Later.
Bye.
That was a Greg Wilson. I love Greg Wilson. Guys, when I tell you one of the funniest comics, just unfortunately he's not going to have too many tour dates coming up because I guess he's playing it super safe, which, like, I understand those guys that are playing it safe. I don't know how I would feel about performing in front of a little plastic or maybe like a plexiglass between the stage and the audience. I don't know how I feel about that, but I tell you what, at this point I would do it just to perform in front of a live audience. I'll do whatever. I mean, I guess that's a lot better than wearing a mask on stage because you really want people to see your facial expressions. So I guess I would do that, but I don't know. In my experience when I performed so far during all this, the club did a great job of keeping the audience 6 feet away from the stage and 6 feet away from each other. You know, there's like a long table in the front row, which they're not sitting anybody at, and the table is longer than 6 feet. So the next set of tables behind them is kind of where the audience starts, and then they're 6 feet apart from each other. So I kind of thought that worked great. Listen, guys, it's been over 2 weeks since I performed in Arizona when they were saying, oh, there's spikes in Arizona. I got to tell you guys, it's been over 2 weeks since I performed there, and I'm fine. And I'm not trying to say, like, you shouldn't be careful. I don't know. I'm not one for spreading fear. But anyway, it was great to talk to Greg Wilson. You guys, I'm glad you guys are safe. And I hope you guys had a really fun and you made some memories with the family. And you guys are continuing to spread that love and keep yourself busy and being productive during all this like I try to do. So listen, you guys. It's going to be a great week. It's going to be a hot week. Let's have some fun. Let's get it done. Let's go. I'm Augustino Zoida, and please click the link in the description for Personal Chef to Go. Sign up. Just give it a try for one box and give it a try. And then right below that is the link to get $300 off plus your free King Puffy pillow. And get $300 off your Puffy mattress. Click that link there in the description as well. And you can always visit us at homeschooledpod.com. Click on sponsors and browse through all the products and services who sponsor us if you're looking for a way to support. The best way to support the podcast is picking up a t-shirt or a sticker or a mug or a hoodie or sweatshirt, tank tops, towels. I mean, it's all on there. We have our brand new Document the Journey design t-shirt, and they're so cool, you guys. I'm fucking excited to order all mine and just start pimping those. Please check it out. Please support. I'm Augustino Zoida. How about a nice big thank you to the Greg Wilson for calling in, and a big thank you to Kevin Lyons and all his editing work, even though he's on the East Coast. And a big thank you to all of you Homeschool Podcast listeners. I love you guys. Have a great week. Stay safe. This is Homeschooled Podcast.
Homeschooled Podcast.
Homeschool.
The Homeschooled Podcast. Why? Because he was homeschooled.
I don't want to do that.
Okay.
I don't want to do that at all.